Europe is poised to cap banker bonuses.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. Bankers in Europe are facing a cap on their bonuses as early as next year. EU officials announced an agreement today that would restrict pay at all banks based in Europe and any units of European banks based abroad. For more, we're joined from London by the BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so what are the details, first of all, of this agreement?
It's an agreement to cap the bonuses that bankers can receive in relation to their basic salary. So it should be, under normal circumstances, no more than the amount of the basic salary, whatever that happens to be. And in exceptional circumstances, if there's an agreement of majority of shareholders, it could be double that amount.
Well, what's the reaction from the banking community on this?
Unfavorable. And basically, I think banks would like to have the flexibility to pay as much as they think is appropriate. There will be some scope for them to get around these provisions, I have to say. One is simply to increase basic salaries. But nonetheless, it is going to exert, at the very least, some kind of constraint on what bankers can get paid, and they would really rather not have any such restrictions.
One of the concerns on this side of the Atlantic, Andrew, on this issue, is that if you make restrictions like this, the U.S. will be less competitive versus bankers in other parts of the world. Is that a concern with bankers in Europe?
It's a concern with bankers in Europe, and it's also a concern with the British government, which is going to oppose this measure when it gets the opportunity to vote on it. The concern is that, yes, in many respects, banks do have a lot of flexibility about where they locate many of their operations. And there certainly is a fear that if this bonus cap is made into law, banks will take the decision to move what operations they can to perhaps the United States, if there's no such restrictions there, or to some centres in Asia, which also have very advanced financial systems, the likes of Hong Kong and Singapore.
BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Jeremy.
Well, here in this country, there was a big surprise from JCPenney after the closing bell on Wall Street. The retailer reported plunging sales and $500 million in losses for the last quarter. Compare that to a loss of just $87 million in the same period a year ago. In a conference call, the company's CEO, Ron Johnson, pinned some of the blame on JCPenney's decision to do away with sales.
So we have brought back sales. We have brought back coupons for our rewards members. And we'll offer sales each and every week as we move forward.
Well, speaking of sales, JCPenney's stock is on sale this morning at a 14% discount from its close yesterday. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, up 2.7% in Tokyo after Japan's prime minister nominated Haruhiko Kuroda to head the country's central bank. Kuroda is in favor of aggressive monetary easing to revive Japan's economy. In Europe right now, stocks up 0.7% in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow surged 175 points to close at 14,075.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Well, we are just a day away from the sequester, which is Washington's speak for $85 billion worth of federal spending cuts this year. The people who will feel the pinch first will likely be federal workers, some of whom could lose 20% of their pay. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Okay, so what do you guys want to eat for dinner tonight?
Salad.
It's dinner time at Erica Towns' house in the Washington suburbs. She's a nurse at Andrews Air Force Base in Maryland, making less than $50,000 a year. She's been fighting foreclosure. So when Towns heard she might have to take unpaid leave one day a week because of sequestration, her first thought was, will I keep my house? What bills will I be able to pay?
With the sequestration, now we're talking about full-on juggling.
Ironically, Towns could lose her job if she runs up too much debt trying to make up for the sequester pay cut. Her job requires a security clearance. She has to maintain a certain credit rating to keep her clearance and her job.
You know, Department of Defense is not going to say, oh, well, you know, sequester is okay. That's not how it works.
Since borrowing could put their jobs in jeopardy, Defense Department workers will have to turn to other sources of aid if they're forced to take unpaid leave. The union office on Andrews Air Force Base has prepared packets of information on local shelters, food banks, and counseling services.
Depending on gas or buying food, most important.
Octavia Hall is president of the local branch of the American Federation of Government Employees. Earlier this week, the office was bustling. Workers kept dropping in with questions for Hall. She says the sequester would lop 20% off of her members' paychecks when their take-home pay is barely enough to cover their bills as it is.
Take home $900 for 2 weeks. So cancel 20% off of that.
That 20% pay cut would ripple through the economy. Stephen Fuller is an economist at George Mason University. He says the sequestration cuts would shave 1 percentage point off of economic growth this year. He says an economy that's been staggering anyway will be punch drunk after sequestration.
It will have enormous short-term consequences that won't achieve any purpose.
Fuller says those consequences won't be felt immediately if sequestration kicks in tomorrow. Federal workers have to be given at least 30 days' notice of any unpaid leave. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, to an amazing new invention in Portland, Oregon, a physicist named David Neville has unveiled the Oreo separator. And it does just that. It separates the cream, which Neville hates, from the cookie, which he likes. He says he's had to put long hours into the invention process, although perhaps that time would have been better spent, I don't know, choosing a cookie that doesn't have any cream in it to begin with. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.